It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Thanksgiving football is upon us, and we turn to a group of students at Lombardi Middle School in the Green Bay Area Public School District to field questions to a Packers Hall of Famer. Seventh grader Hope, they've got this covered.
Well, I mean, everybody likes the Packers.
You can call in with a question or comments about Packers football, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Leroy Butler is a Pro Football Hall of Famer, spent his entire 12-season career with the Packers. Leroy, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Oh, are your hands sweating here? Because these are some interesting questions that we've got from the middle schoolers, but I want to start with your pregame rituals because, you know, Thanksgiving, there's a lot of football to take in. You know, now that you're not a player, of course, you're watching. What are some of your pregame rituals as you watch the Packers and other teams?
Well, when I was playing, the biggest thing, I had to have a grilled cheese and spaghetti before a game. I did it my whole career. And I had to have the same trainer, Curt Fielding. He had to be the one tape my ankles. And if that didn't happen, I mean, of course, it's just in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when you're playing sports, sometimes you want to do the same thing over and over. So it makes you feel good mentally so you can go play.
So do you snack on grilled cheese when you watch games?
Well, not anymore, but I used to. That's a good question. I used to love grilled cheese. I was a Kobe Jack guy by being in the state of Wisconsin, and I love cheese. I mean, God is good for me to be living in Wisconsin. But yes, we would travel to other parts of the country, of course, and our staff used to tell, you know, the caterers, can we try to get him a couple grilled cheese? And you would see the wait, because some of the games are in the morning because we play at noon, so we ate food at 10 in the morning. Everybody's eating like eggs and bacon. I'm eating the grilled cheese.
Grilled cheese aren't on the menu at that time, but they are for you. And I assume the spaghetti comes with just, you know, carbo loading there. That seems right. Well, without further ado, we're going to hear from Lily here, who wants some clarification from you.
Are you the creator of the Lambo Leap?
Lily, are you the creator of the Lambo Leap? Tell us the story of jumping into the stadium for the first time.
Yes, 1993. It was one of these things where it was very cold because I'm from Jacksonville, Florida. And I just remember in that particular game, the field was a complete, it was frozen. It was like a sheet of ice. Mm. And I remember causing a fumble and I couldn't find out where the ball was. Because when the ball hits that field, when it's icy, it'll just go everywhere. And Reggie White picks it up. And as I saw Reggie getting tackled, spontaneously, I went towards him, and he lateraled me the ball. I'm running down the sideline. I got so excited. I mean, because I'm a defensive back. I don't score very much. But I just remember the crowd being so loud. And once I ran towards the end zone, I pointed to the crowd that I was going to jump up there, and I threw the ball down, and I jumped up there, and the fans loved it, and they caught me, and it's been the best celebration ever since, because it's not just me. You need the fans in the picture with me. That's why I'm so proud of it.
I wonder, how are Packers' techniques with the leap today? What advice can you give them in their leap formation?
You know, it has evolved, because mostly you jump up there and just hug the fans. Now, I think in the late 2000s, I think Donald Driver, Amon Green, Jordy Nelson, they would actually sit on the wall and take a selfie or take a picture.
It's a little press conference there, you know.
Exactly. And they put a statue out right outside the pro shop so people can see what it feels like to sit on the wall and take a picture with the fans. So that's amazing.
Oh, we're talking with football Hall of Famer, legendary Packer Leroy Butler, taking questions from Lombardi Middle School students. You can join in along the way. Call in with a question or comments, 800-642-1234. So you retire in 2001 after a broken shoulder blade injury, playing for 12 seasons. Rosalie would like you to reflect on your time as a Packer.
What was your favorite journey while playing for the Packers? What did you enjoy most about it?
Your favorite journey?
Oh, that's a great question. To me, the journey was when I was a kid, I was a special needs kid, special education. So shout out to all the special education teachers and all teachers. I love teachers more than anything. And I just remember telling my teacher that I wanted to play in the NFL to get my mom out of poverty. Hmm. And I think I was like in the fifth grade. I was very young. And that journey was, some of it was rocky, but it in my mind, it was always smooth because I knew it was going to happen. And when I got to high school and I say, okay, I'm getting closer. I went to Florida State University. I said, okay, it's getting closer. And then when Lee Rimmel of the Green Bay Packers called me, him and Lindy Infante and Tom Brotts of the Packers, I mean, it was as if God was talking to me, like, we're going to draft you. You're coming to Wisconsin. And I remember Lindy Infante asking me, did I have any questions? And I told him, yes, sir. He was the head coach of the Packers. I asked him, where was Green Bay? And you can hear the laughter so loud on the phone. And the best thing about it is your teammates, though. Your teammates, you get to see them every single day. To be honest, you spend more time with your teammates than your family during the season. So Brett Favre, Reggie White, Antonio Freeman, Gilbert Brown, who was my locker mate for 9 years, that's the best thing about playing the ultimate team sport, which is football. When you get 11 guys to come together to try to win a Super Bowl, so that's that journey. And seeing the teammates every single day was amazing.
You've talked openly about growing up in low-income housing in Jacksonville, Florida, and your mom supported you and your siblings. Isabel is asking, what was one of the hardest things about growing up in poverty, and how did it affect you mentally?
Another great question. I think that the platinum part of that question is, I like to give kids the blueprint on how you become successful when you don't have as much as everybody else. I got bullied for not wearing the coolest shoes, the coolest clothes, because I wore hand-me-downs. And when the kids laughed at me, I actually laughed at them and said, you know what? I'm not in school for a fashion show. I'm in school to learn from the smartest people in the world, my teachers. And all of a sudden, the laughter stopped. They said, wait a minute, he has a point. Because it didn't matter what I had on. It didn't matter to me. I just knew my teachers who were going to help me get into the NFL, because one of my teachers told me that the NFL had playbooks and I could really have to study and had a learning disability. So I was too concentrated on trying to become, just have a good memory and be able to read to my level and things of that nature. But I will say this, though. I guess one of the biggest difficulties when you have to stand up in front of the class and tell them where you live and you know, kind of what your mom do, what your dad does. And most of the kids, you know, from, you know, very nice neighborhoods. I couldn't wait. After a while, I got excited because I wanted people to know that it's okay. Because as students, it's certain things we can't control. I can't control that. So I don't worry about it. And that's the best advice my grandmother told me. Because on Thanksgiving, I would go to the pantry with my family, or organization like Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin, and say, God, you pray to some stranger that you don't know is going to donate or drop food off so you can have Thanksgiving. And I was okay with that because I knew in the future I was going to change a lot of this when I get in the NFL. So I had all that planned in my head to really think that poverty is going to get me, because my mom had me thinking upstairs that I was rich.
Packers Hall of Famer and defensive back trailblazer Leroy Butler taking questions from middle school students in Green Bay. And you can join the conversation as well. Call in with a question. Share your thoughts. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Arguably the biggest day on the NFL's calendar. The Packers are part of the Thanksgiving Day lineup, taking on division rival Detroit Lions. We hand over the mic to middle school students in Green Bay to field questions to Leroy Butler, Pro Football Hall of Famer, drafted by the Green Bay Packers in 1990, spent his 12-season career with the Pack. Be part of the discussion. Call in with a question, comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Okay, Leroy, this is a two-parter. We have two middle school students who want your take on players. First, Robert wants to know who is your all-time favorite Packer player. So you have to play favorites there. And then Grayson wants to know who was the hardest player to tackle or cover.
My favorite is pretty easy. I mean, it's a slam dunk in my mind. I mean, I'm a put Edgar Bennett aside because that's too obvious, because we play high school, college, and pros together. So he was like my brother. But my favorite player had to be Gilbert Brown. I mean, Gilbert Brown was my locker mate next to him for like 9 years. And when I got into the Hall of Fame, he was the one I chose along with my wife to kind of, you know, put me in. You could choose whoever you want to help you put you in the Hall of Fame. So it's Gilbert Brown. And the hardest, I'm going to say two people. It could be more, but I'm going to say two. No, you know what? I'll be very honest and say one. Barry Sanders. It's ironic I chose him when the Packers play the Lions tomorrow.
Yeah.
He was by far the most difficult person to play against because he was elusive. He wasn't arrogant as most running backs are. When they score, they do a lot of dancing.
They
and
do the
like
dance,
that.
Yeah.
See, defensive guys, we can't dance. We can just jump in the stands. It was Barry Sanders.
Well, let's hear from Michael, who wants to ask about barriers for professional football players.
What obstacles did you have to face to get into the NFL?
What are some of those obstacles just to make it into the NFL?
You really have to be a good listener. And that's difficult when you're on that path to say, this is what I want to do. I want to play in the NFL. It's not narcissistic. It's not arrogant. You're just saying, this is what I want to do. And once you want to do that, you can't know everything. But your parents can really help you. Because if you go to your mom, your dad, and said, as I did, and said, I want to play in the NFL, they're going to hold you accountable. So sometimes if you don't want to be held accountable, you don't tell anybody. But sometimes helping people hold you accountable, it not only keeps you out of trouble, but it keeps you focused and on path of how to make it. But becoming a great listener from your teachers, your parents, and it's not about how many friends you have, but it's about the friends you have that think just like you. And that can really help you.
Who helped you with the grit and the stamina to be accountable to get to that dream?
My grandmother. I remember she told me, she said, God is always watching. She said, I may not be there, but if you're going to tell, you're going to make a commitment that you want to do something, just because your family or friends are not around don't mean that it's not being seen. So my grandparents really taught me to be mentally just say, you know what, I just need to sit here and listen. And you take things out of what people say and you apply it. That makes you ready for anything that society can throw out at you. But for the most part, really quick, she told me that God gave everybody a talent. And at the time, poverty, leg braces, and in the inner city, what was my talent? She said, my talent was that I could ignore negative stuff and keep moving. Hmm. She said, that's a real talent, and that really was going to help me, and it did.
It's interesting you say about the negative stuff, because Jaslyn wants to know about that particular topic.
Yes.
What advice will you give kids today who believe that they can't be anything?
Oh, this will be good for you, Jasmine. This would be fantastic. I started something called Make It Obsolete by Delete. I remember my mom saying this. If something is not true, because I didn't have social media, but if it would have been there when I grew up, this is how I would have handled it. If something is not true, delete it. If something about you, it's a rumor somebody said, is not true, just delete it in your mind. Because if people find out what bothers you negatively, you're going to get it every single day. But if you're in a group text, you see negative about you somewhere, somebody wrote a letter, just delete it. Because if they know it affected you, you're going to see it every day. But if you ignore it, like I did in the locker room, in the lunchroom, mm-hmm. when I was on free lunch, everybody else was on hot lunch, you could pay because they could afford to pay for it. I ignored them because they didn't even know it was getting to me. They had to like remind me all the negative stuff because I was ignoring it. Nothing was going to get in my head negative because I thought that would hold me back because I wasn't going to hurt myself or hurt somebody else. No, I was going to stay untasked, mentally stay focused on the positive thing. Now, of course, you're going to be some negative stuff, but once you figure out if it's true, and not only you going to know if it's true, that's when you just delete it.
Leroy Butler is a Pro Football Hall of Famer, and a shout out to Lombardi Middle School students who have submitted some fascinating questions, and you can join in the conversation. Your questions and comments are welcome at 800-642-1234. So as a child, you, as you mentioned, wore leg braces from age 6 to age 8. And Sophia is asking, how did your experience as a kid with leg braces to then becoming a famous football player, how did that affect your confidence today?
You know, I used to be very, I know it's hard to believe. I used to be very shy, very shy. I'm a mama's boy. I used to go to church and just almost hug my mom's leg because I didn't want to interact with the other kids. And I remember her telling me that you got to network and talk and let people know who you are. I say, well, you know, could they see me when it was the community pool, it was right across the street. So I would sit on the porch in a chair and see all the kids going to the pool with their towels and their all the animal stuff, the floaties, but I couldn't go because of the leg braces. And they would pick on me for not going. But I kind of laughed at them like, I got plenty of time to get in the pool. So I just said, I got to look at it as something I need so one day I can run and jump. So it never really bothered me. It was fine. I mean, I'm telling you, they used to tell my mom in church, why is your son so happy? He always smiles all the time. It's kind of annoying. And she said, because he knows how his life is going to end. It's okay. It's okay. Because my feet were so pigeon-toed, turning in towards each other. I needed that. So I needed that kind of help so one day I can get into the swimming pool. And eventually I did.
It was all part of a process and all a mindset along the way. You really showing that patience as well. Leroy Butler, Pro Football Hall of Famer, spent his entire career with the Packers. Lombardi Middle School students in Green Bay, they've compiled their questions about the Packers and NFL football. Personal questions about Leroy's life, and we hear your questions along the way as well. Call 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What a pleasure to have retired Packer and Pro Football Hall of Famer Leroy Butler fielding questions from students at Lombardi Middle School in Green Bay. And we explore his remarkable journey in football and his era with the Packers. You can be part of the discussion. Call in with a question. Share your thoughts. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Laura, you travel to schools talking with students about bullying in a presentation called Butler versus Bullying. Why are you using your platform to highlight the issue of bullying?
Because I want to, Kate, I want to let kids know what the blueprint is when negativity starts to happen in schools. But mainly, I want to let them know that kind of how I dealt with it. And I think it was very, very important for me to just kind of say, you know what, let me tell you the difference. And I give examples between bullying and having fun with someone. Because I think sometimes the line, you don't know where that line is.
It goes too far. Guess,
yeah. When a group of people go after one student, or to attack something negative, like somebody wearing glasses or wearing leg braces or anything like that, we don't need that. But if your uncle is a Bears fan like mine, and I text him, you can't spell your head coach's name, Eberflus, and he texts me back, yeah, but Aaron Rodgers is a baby. That's not bullying. He's having fun. And then when Aaron throws a touchdown to Greg Jennings, I said, oh boy, what happened to that? And he'll text me, well, okay, I get the point. We still love each other. We're just having fun. But what we don't want is for 8 hours, some kid don't want to even get off the bus, Kate. They don't even want to go to lunch because you can't sit with the cool kids. But who determines who's the cool kids? I give them specific examples. So when I leave, they'll have tools to deal with it. And ultimately, if it gets too bad, always tell a teacher.
With that, a specific example, Gracie would like to hear your thoughts on how to rise above.
What advice would you give to teenagers to help them avoid or ignore negativity?
So that advice to teenagers specifically.
I think one of the biggest thing is when you're older in high school, it's worse because I've never got invited to a sleepover. I've never was invited to the mall. I was never invited to a skating rink. But to me, it was okay. Because I only wanted to be around people that think like me. So the best advice I give kids, only be with people that think like you. And every day you go to school, try to meet somebody you don't know and just get to know them. And along the way, it's going to be bumpy, but I'm telling you, it'll smooth out. to where you're saying, you know, not only do I love going to school, but I love interacting with students and having fun. You're going to have a difference of opinion about a lot of things, because I would interact with students that didn't look like me, that didn't have my same religion, or because I want to learn other cultures and learn other people. Next thing you know, by high school, I was the life of the party because I was the only funny person. And if they didn't laugh, I would laugh at my own jokes. And next thing you know, comedy was a way for me to kind of get all the negativity from around me.
It was a release. Well, fast forward to your time in the NFL. How did you handle poor media coverage, unfair media coverage, or insults from fans?
Great question. Oh, that's a platinum question. We had a guy named Lee Rimmel. Lee Rimmel was kind of our media person to do interviews or to just kind of give you the therapy to know, okay, we just lost to the Colts. They had not won a game. We were a Super Bowl contender. I used to go in his office. Okay, what are they going to ask me when I go downstairs? And he would just kind of guess, well, they're going to say, ask you this, this, and this. That's called media training. He would also, you know, okay, I just gave up a touchdown, which was rare. What are they going to print the next day? What are fans going to say about me in the grocery stores and Pick and Save? What are they going to say? And he would tell me. So I was always used to that, but he always told me, here's how you fix it. Once you do something great, it'll all change. So you control your narrative. You control your headlines, not somebody else. You can't want people to buy your jersey to support you, and they can't give their opinion. It's okay. They can disagree. We can disagree, but I know you still wear the G. So we can disagree. I'm okay with that because I'm here because it ain't always going to be peaches and cream. It's not. But I'm okay with people getting their opinion because all I got to do is play great and that opinion changes.
Football Hall of Famer and legendary Packer Leroy Butler taking questions from Lombardi Middle School students and yours, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Leroy, what misconceptions might be out there or do you think that people have about how wealthy pro athletes are?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Well, I'll tell you this. Each era is different. Each era. Because I remember Jerry Kramer, who was one of my heroes ever since I got to the Packers. He was telling me what they got paid. I remember talking to Dave Robinson, another Hall of Famer. And then in the 90s, when everything, the difference was in pay, I remember guys would say, you know, back in the 80s, we got paid this. So it's all relative. So now they got contracts like $100 million guaranteed. And I would tell this to anybody. I want to be rich when I'm 65, not when I'm 25. Because when you're 25 and rich, you waste a lot of money. But if you save your money, just a nice portion of it, when you get in your 60s and you can determine where you live, you can determine when the grandkids can stay with you, you can determine whether or not you're living paycheck to paycheck, where you know your Social Security if you played in the NFL, because you're going to have, when you retire, you're in your 30s. So for an NFL player, that's old, but it's young in the society. But I want to, that's what I told my mom, I want to be rich when I'm in my 60s. I'm not interested in getting 50 cars and big houses. I mean, you live a great lifestyle, don't get me wrong. But as far as managing your money, you don't need 25 agents, all these marketing people. You really can do it yourself and just put your money and save it until you're older. Then you get a chance to golf and fish and have fun. And Wisconsin is the best place to retire. I don't know who told somebody the best place to retire is in Florida. Because if people always think about taxes. I don't mind paying taxes. If I have mental health upstairs I'm fine with that. I just want a peace of mind. And that's what Wisconsin gives me.
What do you love to do? What do you love about Wisconsin? And what do you enjoy doing in these times?
Meeting people. Mm-hmm. Kate, it's amazing to meet people and like Pick and Save mm-hmm. or out in the community. And they just say, wait a minute, you're in the Hall of Fame. Your name is in the Lambeau Field and you're out shopping. Yes.
there's some cheese and spaghetti noodles in that grocery cart.
Exactly. You get where I'm coming from. But I've always been a happy person to meeting the people and doing things. And to be honest with you, I like doing stuff other players won't do it. They just like doing this morning was amazing. I mean, talking to students and talking to you and some people around the state, getting a chance to know my story. You have to take advantage of that. And I love doing that.
Well, Leroy, it's not over yet because we've got another one here. Luna is wondering about how you handle stress and whether you handle it differently now than when you were playing pro football.
Well, that's a great question, too. Getting therapy really helps. Mm-hmm. I've been getting therapy once a week for like 25 years, maybe even longer. And it just keeps you level-headed. And all you have to do is, well, in my case, call your grandkids because they don't know what you're going through. Hey, G-Pa, how's it going? But it's always something great. When you would lose a game and you go home to your kids and they jump on you, they don't care that you lost to the Vikings or just that's what really helps me. So I always try to call positive people if I'm stressed out. Gilbert Brown, Charlie Behrens, me and him are pretty, he's like a son. He's always upbeat and it's vice versa. If he's having a low day. So I get a lot of phone calls. I cheer a lot of people up.
I see how you're filling your day. People person. So Kojay is wondering, really wants to explore grit with you.
In football, how did you deal with all the hard work? Like, how did you, like, deal with the practice and everything?
Like, the hard work, the practices, how do you get through that?
Well, you know, it was fun to me because practices, you know, they say practice makes perfect. Mm. I look forward to practice because it was going to make me so much better on Sunday. I enjoyed it. I really did because a lot of the students couldn't do what I do. So I had to take advantage of it. So practice to me was a positive. I love it because everybody in the school couldn't do what I do. So for 2 hours, I get to interact with my teammates and just run around and stay in shape. It was fun. So you have to flip it and say, you know what? I'm lucky to be out here because everybody can't do what I do. So you have to take advantage of it.
Pro Football Hall of Famer Leroy Butler, inventor of the Lambeau Leap, fielding questions from Green Bay Middle School students about life connected to football and a life lived. Call in with a question. Share what's on your mind. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Packers travel to Detroit for a Thanksgiving Day matchup against the Lions. We gather a group of middle school students in Green Bay to explore their questions for retired Packers strong safety and pro football Hall of Famer Leroy Butler. Call in with a question. Share your thoughts. 800-642-1234. Let's go to Marlene in Wales. Marlene, hi. What is your question?
Hi. I'm just wondering if you could share recommendations for individuals who really admire what you're doing to help kids in need. But you're kind of doing that coming from, you know, groups of kids at a time. How can individuals get involved in the most effective way to help kids who might need a positive friend, adult friend, not like friend, but, you know, mentor in their life.
Marlene, thank you. Leroy.
Thank you, Marlene. To me, it's two things stand out for me. My mom told me real heroes don't have capes. They can't fly. A real hero is helping somebody who you don't know. Anybody can help their family and friends, but helping somebody who you don't know is a real hero. So if you want to feel like a hero, you could do that at any time. And the other one is, it's called one yes, that you're going to get tons of no's throughout your lifetime. But be that one yes for somebody, because that's the best answer in the world, is yes. Help somebody you don't know. And that really has a positive effect. If you get 12 people and go out into the world to give 12 people one yes, those 12 keep going. It goes on and on. Of course you're going to get no's. But that one yes for helping somebody you don't know is a truly amazing feeling.
Giovanni wants to know, what is the hardest part for you about retiring or leaving the NFL?
What, other than the money, because that's the obvious, not seeing my teammates every day. That was heartbreaking. I mean, because once you retire, everybody goes back to maybe what school they went to, where they were brought up, and you see them every now and then. I mean, I don't see Brett, but maybe once a year. Now I see Antonio Freeman maybe 3 times a month. I see Gilbert 3 times a month, but it was every day that I cherish seeing my teammates. You know, Bill Schrader, I see him maybe once a month, but I like seeing those guys every day and playing cards and having fun with one another and talking about family and life. That's the most difficult thing. Some guys go into depression because they realize when they retire that they're not who they are. And I try to tell them, you're still the same person. You just take the jersey off, but you're still the same person and you have to grow your life in another way.
When you do get those moments to be together with old teammates, old players, what do you do? What do you talk about? Is it other than football?
Well, I tell you, sometimes, but mostly it's football. But if guys of the 90s, if you were there from 95 to 98, when we see each other, oh, we should have won 3 Super Bowls. It's the first thing that comes up. It's always the what ifs. What if this? What if that? And then after that, all our kids grew up with each other. And we talk about basically when the next time we're going to get together. So now we're trying to get together 3 times a year somewhere else with our family and friends and somewhere just the guys. But mainly we talk about food. They talk about cigars, drinks, fishing, shopping, just about everything that you really couldn't talk about in the 90s because it was a little bit different. But it's so much fun, though. And we do recordings, though. We record each other and film it, and so we can revert back to it. When you've missed guys, you just go to YouTube and look at highlights, which is awesome.
You were recently named to the Packers Board of Directors. What influence do you hope to have over the organization?
You know, Kate, I'll be very honest with you. I never thought this would happen. This is no. I never thought it. Because I'm such a grassroots and community person that they're never going to put somebody like me that's so approachable and in the community on the board. But man, was I wrong. That's exactly who they're looking for. Because I get a chance to not only help a lot of nonprofits and companies, and I can affect the shape of the communities as far as, because the community really is our owners, because they're shareholders.
Mm-hmm.
So where I came from the projects to being on the board of the best franchise, and Mark Murphy, to me, his leadership is platinum because he wants everybody to win. And every time we have board meetings, we're thinking about how can we help the state of Wisconsin and how can we grow the brand of the Green Bay Packers? Because we understand that the DNA of this state is the Packers. So we try to make sure we put the right players on the field, but not only that, the right players in the community, make these guys available and accessible to fundraisers and things of that nature. So it's been a joy. It really has been.
Does the board seem to get along?
Well, of course, you have to. Yeah. And I'll tell you what Mike Holmgren said about getting along. He said, guys, when you enter the building, you swipe your key card, you enter the building, 1265 Lombardi, leave all your problems outside. We're all one team, one dream. Now you leave, okay, fine. But as long as you're in the building, we're all on the same page. And we all just started laughing. It was like 80 of us in that meeting laughing so hard. But I understand his point, that if I had a bad day, I don't bring it into the meeting. I bring the energy to just help for the reason why I'm there. You're going to have some bad days, but just don't let it be on Sundays, Mondays, and when you're interacting with your teammates.
Well, our last question here is from the student Carmen, who wants to know, how do you keep your energy up and how do you keep spreading your positivity?
Carmen, that's a good question to end on. You know how people say the best compliment I got, the very best compliment I've ever got was Patrick Creedon, because I'm working on my documentary of my life story. He said, Leroy is like, when you meet him, it's like his mother is standing right behind him. Now you think about that. When you see your parents, okay, you sit up straight, or your grandparents, you do this, that. But when they leave, okay, you're more relaxed. When you meet him, it's as if his mom is standing right behind him. So I try to be respectful to everyone. And for the most part, just have to brighten somebody's day. That really gives me joy.
And we have had so much joy here. Thank you so much for joining us and for your presence, Leroy.
Yeah, thank you, Kate, so much. You did an amazing job. Thank you so much.
Leroy Butler, Pro Football Hall of Famer, drafted by the Green Bay Packers in 1990. Entire career, 12 seasons with the Pack. Big shout out, thank you, to the Green Bay Area Public School District. It was amazing. Students at Lombardi Middle School, reach out to us if you're a Wisconsin teacher, would like to partner with us. We want to hear about it. Get in touch. Email ideas@wpr.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.